Welcome back, my friend, Chef and a Fat Man, live from the Cook's Warehouse in East Cobb. There are numerous locations. All you have to do is look up Cook's Warehouse. When we last left you, the lovely and talented Ann Byrne was telling us about getting in a rut and how to get out of a rut. And one of the ways to get out of a rut is start cooking a lot of different recipes at the same time. Because if you follow Ann's way of doing things, you can do this. You can multitask in the kitchen. For instance, your squash is resting.
That's right.
I hope you played some gentle music. So it's a happy squash.
It is a really happy squash.
Well, that's
very
good.
Yeah, it's going to love the company it's going to keep with the apples and the onions and the curry powder, too.
Wait a minute. that's very sweet. Now let's move right along. Speaking of sweet, now you're chopping sweet onions. Now, of course, real sweet. Peruvian sweet onions this time of the year by Real Sweet Human Produce.
Wow.
The top of the line when it comes to great sweet onions. So you have a beautiful sweet onion from Peru. And this is a great time. Sweet onions are such a part of the South since the 1930s.
Vidalias.
Yes.
I mean, really. You know, that's first time. Some of the first stories I wrote for the newspaper were about Vidalia. And that's when they were actually figuring out then, you know, that particular area of South Georgia and that soil was so unique and that little microcosm.
18 counties
and
that's it.
Yeah. 18 counties.
That's
really?
That's all that can grow and call Vidalia. And it's federally trademarked.
That's bigger than I thought. I think when I was writing about it, it was smaller than that even, really. Wow. It's amazing. But I love Vidalias. And this is perfect when you can get Vidalias or the Peruvians, whatever you want to use. So use 3 cans of black-eyed peas. These are just canned black-eyed peas, but drain them and rinse them. You don't want to use the water from black-eyed peas or any really canned vegetable because sometimes it has a lot of salt in it. It's going to affect your dish. So drain it and rinse them. Throw it in a mixing bowl and then put in about 2 cups of sweet onion that you've chopped and some red and yellow finely minced bell pepper. You can use the orange and the yellow. Those are really, really pretty. Just don't use the green bell pepper. I think they're kind of trite. You know, I almost feel like they were used too much and they have a bigger, harsher flavor. I like green bell pepper, but
they aren't as sweet.
Yeah, they just kind of take over a dish.
And it's so colorful. And when you work with Gloria, you know, a food stylist.
It's important.
And you have great, brilliant pictures like you do in Ann Byrne Saves the Day cookbook.
Yes.
You have to have something that looks colorful instead of just blah.
That's right.
And this is New Year's caviar.
And it's got to be festive. And so what I've got going on here, I've got the yellow pepper, I've got the red pepper, I've got the and I added a minced clove of garlic, you could add too. And then I add the capers, and I told you that the capers are like the miracle ingredient. So we've got the capers in here. We got a 3-ounce jar that I have drained. And then you throw that in there, and right now that is looking a lot like it's looking kind of confetti-ish. It's sort of fun.
Looks like my pants. I don't know if you notice a man's pants when they walk in the room, but you can't help but notice these because
they're festive.
They're festive.
Festive.
I knew New Year's caviar. I tried to be right there.
So, you know, actually, this is perfect for New Year's caviar because you got to have black-eyed peas on New Year's Day for good luck. We know that. And you could serve this at a New Year's party. You could do it at a holiday party. I've added a little hot sauce to that. You could add a little liquid smoke if you like a smoky flavor. And then we're really just going to add some balsamic, a balsamic vinaigrette dressing that you like, one from the grocery store or from Whole Foods, whatever you like. Get a pre-made, and that's it. If you want to add fresh chopped parsley, you can. This is an Atlanta recipe. Kathy Simpkin gave it to you. Totally add the jalapenos. I did the liquid sauce.
Yes.
But you could totally add fresh jalapeno peppers. Serve this with tortilla chips.
Oh, nice.
It can carry over to midnight. I don't know what your traditions are, but a lot of people like to cook breakfast at midnight if they're having a New Year's Eve party. It's perfect. It's delicious with scrambled eggs.
Let's talk about parties because as we get ready to try these nachos, because I love nachos. See, I think nachos should be a food group. You know, I mean, they really should because you can get with cheese, without cheese. You could Fritos, nachos, anything in that genre of salty, fattening snack things to dip in, I think are just wonderful. And this is one of those things, but you talk about parties, and we just talked about this, kind of glossed over it. But you came up with the concept, the idea of when you have a party, everybody brings their own dish.
Yep.
It not only takes the stress and pressure off of you as the host or hostess, but you know what it also does? It lets everybody try. Everybody thinks they've got a great recipe. They may not say it, and some are more hidden about it. But everybody, I'll bet you've noticed, especially, well, you've got 125 of the best, but there are a lot of people that have the best of recipe. They think theirs is the best. So this is an opportunity to put up or shut up.
Yeah, you're right. You know, if you want that one recipe. You know, another part of that is that you, I think in your lifetime, it's really cool if you've got that recipe that people know you make and that they sort of associate with you. And I read something years ago. I can't remember where it was. And it was
probably
sort of like,
in one of your columns.
No, it was in somebody else's. But it was how in our lifetime, isn't that a wonderful thing that you, if people do associate us with some recipe that we do well or that we're asked to bring,
all right,
if it's
here we
the
go.
Silky mushroom or whatever,
here
people,
we go.
Then isn't that fantastic?
All right. The recipe.
Yeah.
If someone said, oh, I know Anne is this recipe.
Yeah.
What is the quintessential Anne Byrne as defined by a recipe?
It's probably chocolate cake. But it's probably chocolate cake. I mean, I'm always at, that's what my family asks me to bring for everything, is that I bring a really great chocolate cake. It might vary one way here or there, but it's going to be, I'm guessing it's chocolate cake. My mother was fried chicken and Coca-Cola cake.
Oh, there you go.
So what about you? What's your recipe?
Hey, I'm the fat but jovial host. I ask the cutting and penetrating questions. No, what would be it? You know
nachos.
What I think would be for me?
Hmm.
A ribeye. That
a ribeye
defines
steak?
Me.
Yeah.
8 to 12% fat.
Yeah.
I'm a little larger than that. But cooked to perfection, cool and hot on the outside, cool on the inside.
Oh, you're getting very metaphoric about
this.
Well,
yeah. Well, you didn't. You asked me. Now, okay. I could say something like, since I represent most slobs everywhere in the world, I'm the person that loves Bud Light. I don't drink craft beer. I'm the guy that likes a good nacho. I'm the guy that believes bacon is a food group, regardless of what the FDA says. I believe that bacon oil is quintessential to great culinary. So for me, anything with bacon, I just love bacon. I think bacon is perfect for just about everything, even donuts.
Uh-huh.
Because if you put a nice maple glaze on a donut, a place called Leon's Donuts down in Parker, Florida. It's right next to Tyndall Air Force Base. A little Asian couple down there. They do donuts starting at 4 o'clock in the morning fresh, and they do a maple glazed donut with crushed fresh bacon on top of it.
Wow.
That is absolutely to die for. But I digress. So you've got the caviar is resting. Your squash has been resting.
Uh-huh.
And now you've got something hot in the pan.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and start working on that soup recipe. So that butternut and apple, I've got a couple tablespoons of butter over here in a skillet, sort of over a medium-low heat, and about a cup of onion that I've chopped. You don't have to be too fancy and perfect on the chopping of this onion in the soup because you're going to puree the soup. And that's another sort of a quick step I can tell people. Although I'll tell you that there are many ways to saute an onion, and you know this, but
yeah.
And I think there's no bad way. And what I love about recipes, and I think through the years, is that everybody cooks differently. Years ago in Atlanta, at Rich's Cooking School, actually, Natalie did this wonderful sort of explanation, demonstration on this, where you, she gave all of us in the class the same soup recipe. I was thinking it was a chicken soup or wild rice soup or something, and everybody had the same recipe. And then at the end of the, you know, period, then we all tasted each other's soups, and everybody's soup was different. Because we all chop vegetables differently. Your idea of a mince is different than my idea of a mince. And when you saute onions, you know, you have choice of heat. You can cook them very low in a French, like a sweat. You can actually put wax paper, parchment paper on top of this so they actually just sort of sweat in the pan. Or you can crank up that heat and start caramelizing those onions.
See, I'm a caramelizing kind of guy.
Which is what I am too, you know. And so I have never worried about caramelizing onions because I like them.
You know, I'm
going
to give you a little secret, Ann. Now, you can use this if you want to or not on your world tour. But here's what it is.
Yeah.
Large people don't like to sweat anything because we spend our whole lives sweating. So we caramelize. Just a little unknown factoid. Just like you didn't know it was National Gazpacho Day, you didn't know it was National Microwave Oven Day, and you certainly didn't know this was the last day of National Cookie Cutter Week.
That's true.
So large people would rather caramelize and sweat their onions. Just Another bit of information, my friends, one place and one place only. You can be full of it when you get done listening to the show. Information to make your culinary experiences that much more exciting. Information and tidbits to discuss around the kitchen table. Because as Ann alluded to in the first segment, several segments ago, you know, it would be nice, especially during this holiday season, my friends. Don't say happy holidays for crying out loud. Wish people a Merry Christmas. Wish people a happy Hanukkah. And if they don't celebrate either one, just by you mentioning the fact, you're recognizing them, and you're recognizing the fact that you're trying to share one of your most inner feelings with somebody, and they should appreciate it.
Take it
for what it's worth.
Ain't no
happy holidays here, my friends. It's Merry Christmas. It's Happy Hanukkah. It's Celebrate Ann Byrne as she saves the day in your culinary world with her new cookbook. You can't get it any better than this. Cook's Warehouse, when we come back, more with that lovely resting squash.